passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Welcome in. It is Thursday, and man, do we have a lot for you. We'll review what happened late last night in Arkansas. We'll get ready for some spring games with some of the top coaches and players. First, the headlines from overnight, and how could you have missed this? John Calipari landing in Fayetteville, a hero's welcome. He said, we've got work to do. Nobody wanted to hear that. They wanted to get ready for championships, and it was a raucous scene last night. By now, you have probably seen most of it. Scott Drew says, no way, not going to Kentucky. He was apparently the number one choice. Some think Nate Oates was, some think Danny Hurley was, some think Billy Donovan. Anyway, Scott Drew's not going. He made that very clear today. The national championship coach said to be high on Mitch Barnhart's list, maybe even number one, turned down the Cats. They've had this happen before. Billy Donovan turned them down a couple of times, and they ended up with Billy Gillespie, who turned out to be one of the biggest disasters of all time, and John Calipari, who for the most part was a screaming success. So where will Kentucky go next? We'll talk about it as we work our way through the afternoon. We'll also have a number of guests. I mentioned Brian Kelly joining us in a couple of moments, getting ready for LSU's spring game. How about Dane Key, the wide receiver from UK, and Jalen Milroe from Alabama? He'll join us in the second half of the program. Let's start in North Carolina with Hugh from Deep Gap. Good afternoon.
Well, Paul, I am delighted we're going to get a fresh start in Lexington. Not surprised that there's some trepidation on the part of several people about taking that job, because one thing Cal was right about, it's not a job everybody can handle. I do believe that you need to remember a couple of things about the history of the offers that were made to Billy the Kid. The first offer was made before Gillespie was hired in 2007, and he was on the precipice of winning two national titles, and he knew that. The second offer was 2 years later after he'd won two national titles, and the likelihood of him leaving Florida when Cal was hired is about the same thing as Dan Hurley leaving after two titles at Connecticut, somewhere between slim and zero. However, 10 years in the pro game, eating other people's menu that they select for you to deal with on the floor, and all of the vicissitudes and problems of the pro game, Billy Donovan may be ready for the Kentucky job. And I got a couple of things to say about that. In his history, he was far more successful at the pro level than Calipari or Rick Pitino were. And in truth, I do believe the 5 years he spent in Lexington were very pleasant as an assistant coach with Rick Pitino. He's a man that obviously could handle that job, but whoever takes it, the most important meeting that needs to occur needs to be with university officials, hopefully the head coach, right away, with Reed, Jeff, and Stacy Shepard, because Reed Shepard is going to be the key to how many people can be retained from that outstanding freshman class. And frankly, if it's handled properly with the right head coach, Paul, I think Kentucky will be at the top of the heap from the get-go. I am hopeful Billy Donovan will accept that position. His team is in the playoffs, but that'll come to a grinding halt before long. I think that the AD could take care of the necessary conversations with the Shepherd family in Southern Kentucky, and I think that's a must-do. Anyhow, I'll leave it with that, Paul.
Thank you, Hugh. Always great. G is in Atlanta. Hello, G. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. Well, I was calling from, I want to tell you, when I first started this view back in 2016, the favorite callers was, my favorite callers was Bobby from Birmingham, Buckeye Earl, Jerome, and the one and only, Legend. I remember when we was in dialysis, some of the guys were first at the nurses so they can get through, so we can get home in the afternoon because we knew Legend was coming on between 5 and 6. And so, Paul, that's what I want to say. I mean, I don't know what we know Bobby's not with us no more, and I know Jerome barely called in, and no, Buckeye Earl, I haven't heard from him in a while. But Legend, keep it coming. I'm a Bulldog fan, and I love you, buddy, even though you're a Crimson Tide fan. You love your Alabama, and hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. And keep it coming. That's all I want to say, Paul.
Gee, thank you. All the best as you continue to go through dialysis. Appreciate the call. And Jay is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
I just wanted to call and say a big thank you and a big shout out to you and all your crew members and all the callers that call in every day, because when I first found out about your show, I was a pretty sick guy. My wife had carried me to the ER, and my blood sugar glucose level was 1,060, and also had Crohn's, and, you know, I just barely did get through, and I was really depressed and down, and I knew of you through Roll Tide War Eagle. I'm an Auburn fan.
Right.
Get that, South Carolina Auburn fan. But anyway, I wanted to say that I appreciate all the callers. I don't dislike any of you. I hope to become a regular on here later. I just wanted to say that, Paul, and I appreciate everything you do every day.
Well, Jay, thank you for sharing that, and all the very best to you as you try to overcome some of your health issues. Thank you very, very much. Really a pleasure to hear from you. Let's check in next with Chris, who is in Kentucky. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Paul. I enjoy your show. I watch it every time I can. What do you think about if Billy Donovan was to take the Kentucky job? What's your opinion?
Well, I would be very high on Billy. I mean, I realize it's been 8 or 9 years since he's been in college basketball, but when he left college basketball, he was one of the two or three best coaches in the entire country. And I think Hugh made a great point. He spent 5 years at UK. He understands what goes into that program being successful. So I think he would be superb.
Well, thank you. I enjoy your show. You do a good job, and I enjoy watching you.
Well, you stay close. Thank you very, very much. Ben is in Conway, Arkansas. Hey, Ben.
Greetings and kudos, Professor Winston Bartholomew Firebomb.
Thank you.
How you doing, Paul?
We are doing very well. Thanks for saluting me with my appropriate name.
There you go. Well, now, Professor Firebomb, first of all, I want to say that as a 67-year-old lifelong diehard Razorback fan, I'm just pleased as punch that Coach Cal is coming to the Hill. I think fine, good things are going to happen. But that's going to be hashed around quite a bit enough today. So let me just move on. There have been some nattering nabobs of negativity on all the message boards and websites and so forth about what has Arkansas done. Arkansas basketball isn't relevant. Man, these people have been under a rock. Muss has taken us to the Sweet 16 and two Elite Eights in the last 5 years. I don't know what these people are talking about, but I want to emphasize that it's not just football. It's not just basketball. It's not just baseball. Hunter Yurecek has taken the overall Arkansas athletic program to great heights. As of yesterday, we have the number one ranked baseball team, the number one ranked women's track and field team, the number two ranked men's track and field team, the number eight ranked women's golf program, the number 10 ranked gymnastics program that just advanced to the Elite Eight in the gymnastics competition, the number 11 ranked men's golf team, and the number 14 ranked softball team. These people that criticize Arkansas and the Arkansas athletic program and say Arkansas isn't relevant, and Arkansas hasn't done anything. Paul, I've had enough of it.
Yeah, I heard, thanks for the call. I heard Hunter Yurecek going over all the coaches and their accomplishments yesterday and where they stood, and it was pretty amazing. What an event. Good to see John Tyson there, who is the heir to the Tyson Food Empire, and he really was the one who made it happen to get Cal to Fayetteville. We'll take a short break. We'll switch to football for a few minutes. We have a couple of football guests today as the spring games are around the corner. The head coach of the LSU Tigers, straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And spring camps are about over because there are a number of big games Saturday, and we're going to talk about them throughout the program, including one in Baton Rouge Saturday afternoon. Coach Brian Kelly joining us from there. Coach, first of all, good afternoon. How has camp gone?
Well, no injuries. That's a good thing. You know, I mean, we got one more to go, and I'm pretty confident we're going to win the spring game. So I'm feeling pretty good right now. Look, I mean, I think everybody goes into it with a sense of let's look where our strengths are and really build on them. And really, we need to find out where our weaknesses are so we can begin to address them and get ready for them as we go into camp.
Coach, I know for the next 2 weeks leading up to the NFL draft, you'll be talking about Jaden Daniels, but I want to talk about what's after him. I think most of us have a pretty good idea, but take us through what you've seen this camp, especially at the quarterback position.
Well, Garrett Nussmeier has earned the right to be our starter. I think we saw that in the Wisconsin game, the way he really emerged late in the third, fourth quarter, led us on a late game drive, a 92-yard drive. You know, the glimpse of him, I think, in that game, you know, all of us felt very confident that we could turn this over to him and really, you know, continue to have a great offense. Look, we're losing, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner and two number one draft picks at wide receiver. So you're losing a lot of production, but we have some really good players coming back. And I think he's going to be surrounded with one of the best offensive lines in the country. And he's got tight ends and he's got depth at the wide receiver position. So he doesn't have to do it himself. So feel really good about the surrounding cast and his ability to go in and impact games.
Coach Kelly, a lot of changes in the program on your coaching staff, especially a defensive coordinator. So let's talk about what was an issue last year. You talked about it too often. What did it look like and how does it project as we get ready for the season?
Well, obviously Mike Baker now is in charge of the defense. And, you know, we know the kind of success he had at Missouri. I was looking clearly for somebody that could, begin to elevate the play here at LSU. And it's been a few years now that LSU has not played up to the kind of defense necessary to compete for a national championship. It was quite disappointing to have a prolific offense and not be able to meet it, you know, with any kind of, you know, defensive play. So Blake has great experience and, you know, the work that he did at Missouri, he's familiar with LSU. And, you know, we surrounded him, I think, with an outstanding staff, Bo Davis, Kevin Peoples on the defensive line. Corey Raymond returns and he's had great success here. Jake Owen is an up and comer in the business that worked with Blake at Missouri. We just feel really good about our defensive staff.
Coach, it's almost cliche to ask you about the opener. You've had Florida State the last couple of years, and you're not really catching much of a break getting Southern Cal in Vegas. But it is something for everyone to point toward, especially fans, not that that is your main concern. But how does it affect the team when you have such a big game in the very first slot?
Well, it's important for us. We have not gotten off to a good start the last couple of years, and it's obviously affected our ability to, you know, be in postseason play. And so the focus, the conversation, the narratives are all true, is that it's an important game for LSU. Everything is still alive in the SEC, but that really doesn't matter when you don't get off to the kind of start that you need to really get the momentum and energy going. It's an outstanding football team. I think they've done a similar job on defense and bringing in some really good defensive coaches. So Lincoln, you know, was in a similar situation where they needed to retool on defense. They're gonna be like us. They're gonna be great on offense again. So you've got two teams that have really similar, you know, looks in terms of really good offense and looking to improve on defense.
Coach, nobody knows exactly what the magic number is going to be this year with the new playoff. It will be talked about ad nauseum as you start making the rounds, and we'll see you in spring at spring meetings and ultimately at the media days. But how does this, if assuming it does, change anything about getting ready for the college football season?
You know, I don't think it changes, Paul, in terms of your preparation. I really think that, you know, when you're talking about the SEC and you're talking about the Big Ten, and in particular, I think we all now know that with the new format, it's not just about winning the conference championship in terms of getting in. I think that's a foregone conclusion that there's more than just the winner of the conference. Remember, it was set up for conference champions to get into the playoffs. I think the expansion now really lends itself to the next best team, and maybe even, you know, three teams from a conference. So I don't think it changes your preparation, but I think it changes your mindset a little bit as you go through the season that. You're going to get that bounce at midseason that, hey, we are still in a really good position to be in postseason play.
Coach, finally, there was once a time, like a lot of things in college football, where after spring practice, you took a break and maybe enjoyed some things. Of course, the portal window opens, and there are so many other aspects of it. Take us through how different things are and what coaching and coaching head coaches and coaching staffs have to do now that you get through with your game?
Well, first and foremost, it's evaluating your players and having frank conversations with them, because that portal opens up, you know, in a week here. And so you need to know, you know, what your roster is going to look like. And that requires immediate conversations with all of your players. And that's first and foremost. Then you're going to go on the road for the next 30 days. So your staff is out on the road recruiting while this portal window is open. So I think you got to get your house in order relative to what your roster looks like, as well as, you know, recruit the, you know, the 25-26 class. Then June hits, and June is crazy because each weekend now is filled with official visits. So it is a busy, you know, if you want, the next 60 days, maybe 80 days, are as busy as any time that college coaches would have. And that had never been the case. So I think that's, Paul, really where the big difference is, and where you have to use July to reset and recharge the battery, or, you know, you're going to be leaking oil during the season because your guys are going to be exhausted.
Coach, always a pleasure. The best Saturday and for the next however long before you are able to catch your breath. It's always great to see you.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Brian Kelly, the head coach at LSU, as we get off and running here on a Thursday afternoon. Much more to come. Stick around. We're coming right back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Hearing more of Cal's press conference from last night. Bash in Boulder. Hello, Bash.
Bash, Brother Paul. As always, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Bash.
I wanted to ask you a question about something we talked about last week, considering today is all about, you know, Billy Donovan's possibility of being the new head coach for the Kentucky Wildcats since they missed out on the Baylor head coach coming in. I asked you last week, Paul, you know, the possibility of Nate Oates leaving to potentially take that luxurious NBA head coaching job that resides in the city that you are located in. And he said it would be their choice if they wanted to go in that direction. But, and he said recently, thankfully, he's staying at Alabama. Thank you, God. And my question today, Paul, is what coaching job do you think is more luxurious for a head coach in basketball to take at this moment? The Kentucky Wildcats head coaching job or the Charlotte Hornets head coaching job?
Well, I think you'd have to be a complete blithering idiot to want to coach a franchise like the Hornets. There's no upside there whatsoever. To me, Kentucky is a very valuable job. I would want it. I would want to be at a place where the fans care about the sport every day of the week, every month of the year, every all year long. And that's not true at a lot of places. In fact, that's not true at most places. But it is true at Kentucky.
Absolutely, I agree with that. It kind of, I was thinking of it before I asked you, to be a smart coach, if you take the Charlotte job first, then you're risking your career, and every coach that I've seen has taken that job, they never have a head coaching job afterwards, and this recent one is going to be taking a job in the front office instead. Whereas if you take the Kentucky job, and you elevate the program, or you do better than what Calipari did, won't be hard. You could do better than he did.
Yeah, and Bash, you just identified it. I mean, it's one thing to replace or succeed Nick Saban. It's another thing to take over for Krzyzewski or John Wooden 50 years ago. I don't think it's difficult taking over for John Calipari at all. He's done nothing in 5 years. And if you go to the second weekend next year, you've already done better than him. And that's a big deal. And Kentucky fans will be all, Kentucky fans will support anyone, just like Arkansas fans did last night, or any fan base. But to me, it is a great job. And none of these jobs are about money. I want to make that clear. This isn't like the rest of us trying to get a better job for a few more bucks. I mean, these jobs all pay an enormous amount. It's just, what is your opportunity? What is your upside? And can you compete in the current NIL era? Thanks for the call. Let's check in with Joe in Florida. Hello, Joe. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Just want to let you know, man, big fan of the show, big-time SEC guy. Appreciate you having me on, buddy. I have a couple questions regarding the state of the Florida program. So I'm a big fan, and I'm starting to sense a little bit of unease in the fan base with Billy Napier. And I think this could be a make-or-break year for him. I want to know your opinion on that. And I also want to know your opinion on whether or not we could see our new quarterback coming in. We've got a freshman coming in. If he can get any playing time, maybe not over Graham Mertz, but if we start losing some games.
Yeah, you know what happens there. Here, Joe? There's two schools of thought. Can Billy Napier exceed expectations, which wouldn't be hard? That would mean a winning record. And if he's able to get a big win or two somewhere in there, does he feel comfortable going to Lagway? And then you get into another dynamic. If the season is bouncing all over the place, if Lagway looks like he is a game changer, then Billy Napier would try to attach himself and his future to his quarterback. And then it's no longer did you win 8 or 9 or 10 games, did you do enough, and is the future bright enough to retain him, to see how he meshes with the new quarterback?
That's exactly what I was thinking about it as well. So I think he might be on the hot seat here. We'll see.
I don't think there's much question. And we whisper these things because, yeah, hot seat is a peculiar phrase. I mean, Napier is, as I think Andy Staples said yesterday, it's cut and dried what he has to do because he hasn't done it yet. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Ben in Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello, Ben.
Yeah, hey, Paul. How you doing there, bud?
We're doing great.
Okay. Just a little talk about Cal there. I know that a lot of you've got a lot of calls over the last while about, his coach and over the last 5 years and stuff. For me, it's really been longer than that. I think that over the last 8 or 9 years, he's not the same coach he was, back then. I think he's more interested in having players ready for the NBA than having them learn the college game. And a lot of ways, I don't think he's really taught them that much stuff, per se.
No, and he said that again last night, Ben. He was telling Arkansas folks on what he did. He talked about 35 or 40 NBA draft players. That's great. But that's not where college basketball is at. College basketball is about winning championships.
Well, I can see a mishap in the tournament, which has happened before.
It happens to everyone, yeah, but not every year.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also the other things. You know, it's a couple of Evanston beating us at home.
Sure, three straight.
UNC, I think, was it Wilmington or Charlotte?
Right,
I can't remember.
Right, it was Wilmington, I think.
And I just don't see his coaching as being that great. I would put probably 30 to 40 coaches at least ahead of him at the time in the college game. And I'm hoping that some way or another we can end up with one of those, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm happy for Arkansas. They probably, I doubt he was the first choice. And they went down their list, and suddenly they realized, we can probably get him. But there are a handful of coaches in the SEC who would easily rank ahead of Cal. And quite frankly, the guy Arkansas just lost would rank higher on my list of best coaches than the guy they just hired.
Yeah, now listen, I will admit when Cal was offered the job, I was head over toes for him. I
well,
wanted
sure.
him before they got Gillespie and stuff.
It was 2008 or 9. And listen, I don't think it has anything to do with age, because you can coach at any age as long as you're connected. But he never changed. Even after he went, after he got knocked out a couple weeks ago, he was still singing the same song. And I mean, Cal is the biggest winner. He's having the biggest laugh right now. He was able to get out of a place where he was on his last go around and got welcomed last night by I mean, that was amazing. I mean, that was Nick Saban-esque in Tuscaloosa in 2007. We'll take a break. We have a lot to do. We've already had Brian Kelly, Jalen Milroe later on. We'll go to Kentucky and talk to one of Mark Stoops' top players. I wonder how happy Mark Stoops is today that he's the last man standing. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Welcome back. As we continue, guests coming up here, including one of the top wide receivers in the SEC. Bob is in Fort Worth. Hello, Bob.
Afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon to you.
Hey, I may have lost my mind here, but does this Calipari deal going to Arkansas, does this not feel a whole lot like Jimbo going to A&M?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say that would be different is that, I mean, Jimbo left Florida State after a national championship a couple years earlier. I don't think he was in any danger of getting fired, but he certainly had worn out his welcome. That would be a similarity. I also think Jimbo had more. It just felt like Jimbo had more a lot of upside. I don't know how much upside Calipari has.
Well, and I understand what you're saying. I think this whole thing's going to, and I hope I'm wrong, because I love the little brothers up there in Arkansas, bless their hearts, but I just think this whole thing's going to blow up in their face.
Well, you always hear this phrase that, you don't want to just win the press conference. They won the press conference. But what else are they going to win?
Hell, any of them can win a press conference.
Yeah,
it just feels a little anonymous to me.
Yeah, no, listen, I mean, there's always a risk when you hire someone that someone else clearly didn't want anymore. I mean, just go back 3 weeks to that video with the AD and Calipari. I mean, it looked like some Hollywood video of two actors that you know are done, but they put on a happy face just for the TV cameras. Well, hey, thanks so much, Bob. Really good to hear from you. Let's check out Ray in Charlotte. Hello, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We are doing great.
That's good, man. It's my first time call.
Well, thank you.
We're actually getting through. We've been listening to you for the longest, man. Just want to let you know I appreciate your show, appreciate you, and more important, I appreciate what you is and what you're not.
Thank you.
I want to talk about my boy Cal real quick, man. And you're an honest person, so I'm going to have an honest conversation with you. Cal was been a coach for over, it was about 30 years. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, he's been a coach probably, he's been a head coach or maybe longer.
Maybe longer. I don't know if you have a, I don't know if you have a daughter or a son. Or, I'm not sure. I know I've been listening to the show. You don't have a son, right?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, to the people out there that has, let's say they have a son, and their son is a top recruit, top 10, top 50, top recruit going into college. All schools have top recruits. Back when you had Coach K, Dean Smith, Izzo, Bill Self, I can go on and on and on. The difference between Cal and those coaches is Cal really cares about the players. And that might not be good for the school per se, but it is for the kids and their families. With Cal, the object of the player when they go to the school first is to get to the NBA. Would you say that?
That is, well, the better the player, the more interested in the NBA they
about,
are.
I'm talking about
yes.
the top 10. I'm talking
You're
about
You're right.
The top
100%.
Okay.
They're not interested in what the major is going to be. They want to get to the league.
Exactly. So, how players get to the NBA? And they don't just get to the NBA. They get to the second contract, third contract.
You are right.
No other coach does that. None. Not even close. So we can have a debate on what kind of college coach he is, but what you can't have a debate is how much he cares about the kids and their family and what kind of position he puts them in going forward. All these – you had the players from UConn that had the championship – the year before that, the Baylor players, just on and on and on, they won championships. How many of them players are named in the NBA?
No, Ray, listen, you look at a list of the top 100 players in the NBA, and it's one Cal player after another.
Correct. You can actually put an NBA team together in the NBA from Kentucky or UMass or Memphis.
No question.
And win the national championship or win the championship in the NBA.
I agree. I totally agree. Everything you said, I've agreed with.
Appreciate that, Cal.
Hey,
so
thank you very much, Ray. No, I mean, I hear you. And I think that's why he keeps getting the great players. And I think that's why he'll continue to get the great players. So ultimately,
correct,
it comes down to, can he coach at the highest level any longer? We know he can recruit. Thank you very much for the call. Will, also in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. I haven't talked to you since the Tennessee Lady hire, and I wish the girl luck, but I haven't heard anybody ask this question, and I'm a Duke fan, but do you think they reached out to Carol Lawson at all?
I don't know for a fact. My guess is if they had, they would have hired her.
Yeah, I mean, I've endured Elko leaving, and you know the SEC has money or whatever. Kenny Brooks left, but I'm glad we still got Carol. But I would think Carol would be a home run hire. But I don't know if she's going to leave Duke. But you know,
well, listen, I don't know what she would have been, but you have to remember she was on the trustees at Tennessee. She's one of the great players in Tennessee history. It's hard for me to believe that she would not have left, but I don't know because I'm not the athletic director. Stacy is up next.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, you say they won. You say they won in the press conference, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, let me tell you who I think somebody, the press conference also sent a message to somebody, too. If you was looking at the press conference, they started talking about all the coaches. They called all the sports out. They clapped. They had a standing ovation for a certain team. But when they called Sam Pittman's name, everybody got quiet.
Yeah, no, it it was not. I think the baseball coach and the soccer coach and The women's basketball coach got a little better reaction than Sam Pittman.
They did. So I think that press conference sent a message to Pittman. You on your way out, baby. You on your way out. So you better toughen up. But let me say this, Paul. I got a question, and I want this to go to J.K., the Bama hater. Answer this question, Paul. Why don't no AD or other schools target these Miami coaches? Can you tell me why they don't?
Well, they did. Don't forget, he was at Oregon with a fantastic program, and he went back there because that was home. I'm not sure he made a very good decision. We'll take a short break. We have a lot more to do. Jalen Milroe in the 5 o'clock hour, and one of Kentucky's great players, Dane Key.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.